Welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. And, of course, we know we need to be praying a lot for the hurricane. I'm recording this on Thursday before the hurricane hits, but just wanted to let you know you're all in our thoughts and prayer. And we pray for God's wisdom, each individually, so that we can do what we need to do to protect ourselves and to protect our families. We can't do much about the weather. We like to think we can, but we can't. But we can learn to live in and with the weather. And so in all things, as this too shall pass, as they say, we know that storms come and storms go. Well, we want to seek God's wisdom today as we continue with our little series in the book of Ecclesiastes. You know that you and me, receive two gifts from God. I never thought about it this way, but you get a mouth and you get his wisdom. And unexpected things may happen, like a hurricane coming. But don't worry, the Holy Spirit within you will rise to the occasion and speak through you. So just relax. I know it's hard to do when you're anticipating a storm, but somebody greater than you is within you, and we need to learn to depend on him. It tells us in Luke chapter 21, verses 14 and 15, "Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you should answer. You will give. You have a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gain or resist." So you have the wisdom of God within you. And Ecclesiastes, as we continue with our little series on the book of Ecclesiastes, because the word is the way to life, and we're going to pick it up today in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. New Living Translation says this. Oh, and the subtitle is "The Fertility of Wisdom." "I, teacher, was king of Israel, and I lived in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to search for understanding and to explore by wisdom everything being done in the world. I soon discovered that God has dealt a tragic existence to human race, because everything under the sun is meaningless, like, you know, chasing the wind. What is wrong cannot be righted. What is missing cannot be recovered. I said to myself, look, I am wiser than any of the kings who ruled in Jerusalem before me. I have greater wisdom and knowledge than any of them. So I worked hard to distinguish wisdom from foolishness. But now, I love the buts and ifs, but now I realize that even this was like chasing the wind. For the greater my wisdom, the greater my grief. To increase knowledge only increases sorrow." Well, I pray that God's blessing for the reading, the hearing of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. I don't know if we think about things like this, but memories go back sometimes to the 70s. And some of us might recall the BBC program Monty Python, the series. He said, "My brain hurts." And thinking can be painful, not just because of the effort involved, but because of the conclusions that we may reach that may be unwelcome. You know, the devil can't read your mind, but he can play tricks on your mind, and he's been doing that ever since he fell from heaven. Perhaps there should be a public warning along with the lines, "Think before you think." I mean, think about that. Or, "Do you really want to think things through to the end? Or is it the way to happiness and commitment?" Well, the scriptures that I read today, the teacher, Solomon, described his experiences, and he tried to make sense of everything that he saw happening around him. After all, surely Israel's king ought to know what's going on. His impression was one of utter futility. He said humans can seem to be trying to catch the wind. Then they try to bend the world for their own purposes. Then they struggle to bridge the gap between the way the world is and the way they'd like it to be. Usually, it ends up in unhappy results. Now, this seems to be the point of the statement in verse 13, that God has laid a heavy burden on humanity. And it is not that God intended for our lives to be a perpetual struggle. I don't see it that way. You can find that in Genesis chapters 1 and 2. But if life seems to be a heavy burden, it's because we humans so persistently refuse to face reality, ignoring God's purpose and causing ourselves frustration through our foolish schemes. Solomon had a lot to say about that over in chapter 7, which we'll get to it later. But the teacher continues, and he tried to dig deeper. After all, he was known for great wisdom. He asked, what's the roots of wisdom? What makes one action wiser than another? What makes people glad and what makes people sad? It almost seemed to him that we are better off being mad and foolish. That way, we at least spare ourselves the pain that comes from the clear-sighted situations that we're in. In verse 14, it says, "For with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief." Or we might put it like this, ignorance is bliss. Now, this is a shocking conclusion, because the Bible generally prizes wisdom and God's creation. And it's said to reflect God's wisdom over in Proverbs chapter 3. And Jesus described it as in the embodiment of wisdom. And throughout the Bible, we're urged to seek wisdom all through Proverbs, even in the book of James and Deuteronomy. And we are challenged to make wise choices. But here the teacher goes. He simply tells us, nah, the only thing seeking wisdom will give you a headache if you think of wisdom too much. Well, the teacher, of course, is speaking in terms, and later chapters in Ecclesiastes will provide some concrete example of human folly. But today's passage is certainly not all the teacher had to say about wisdom. But to begin with, he simply wants to challenge us to take a good look at what happens in this world and then take a good look at yourself. I like that little poem or whatever it was that Jimmy Dean put out a long time ago, The Man in the Glass. Now, I made it The Person in the Glass because we don't really recognize humans anymore the way we should, man and woman, because we're all human. So anyhow, that person in the glass, who's your best friend? If you look in the mirror, you'll find out who it is. So why do you do these things? And what drives you? And why and how can all of this thing in life make any sense? Well, it's a very unconventional teaching method that Solomon was using. So we need to understand and maybe accept the challenge of the teachers to say, wisdom is the key. Love of God, and do all things that you can. Well, I think the teacher said that if we often try to bend the world to our purposes, and we like to do that, there's so much crazy stuff in this world, and you say, well, we can only bend it the way I think. Well, we struggle to mold the world according to our desires, don't we? And that's brutal. In what ways we have to think about this, the things that are happening around us in society and work, and even in the church or your family. Because as Christians, we need to learn how to avoid chasing the wind, as King Solomon said, and engage in pointless activities. I do that a lot. I engage in things that really, I don't know. I'm just human. Well, we want to thank you for tuning in to this teaching on the book of Ecclesiastes. But I also want to lift up prayers, especially the people that are in the eye of the hurricane and how this is going to affect everybody. And our prayer is that, as one of the hymns that says, "The storms of life, stand by me, O God." And with that, we want to close this little segment with the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Seek wisdom and be safe in Jesus' name. Have a good day.